Welcome to Marriage and Money, a conversational podcast about personal financial topics aimed at improving conversations about money in your marriage so you can reach your dreams together. This is a weekly discussion brought to you by a seemingly financially incompatible couple bonded by the legal contract of marriage. My name is David, your favorite saver, and I'm joined by the spender who has to deal with my mistakes on a regular basis, Heather.
Now, I don't know what you're talking about because you know you're perfect and you know it. You don't make any mistakes.
Yeah, I wish that was the case and I wish you actually believed that.
You mean like the mistake of loving me too much? That sounds about right.
Oh, I do love you a lot. And it's good to know you love me as well.
I do.
Yeah, this is getting awfully cheesy. We're not here to be cheesy today, Heather.
We're not. Are we going to have a stressful conversation, or is this going to be a good one?
We're here to have a productive conversation.
Okay.
And I don't want to cheese people out too much. I don't want people throwing up as they're driving down the road listening to this podcast, being like, "What the heck did I do tuning in this week?" Today, we have a great show planned for you. We are going to be talking about the 10 most common mistakes that people make with their money.
What? Are you kidding? People aren't perfect with their money? I can't believe that.
People can make mistakes from time to time. I've been known to make a mistake or one or two times as well.
I guess. I probably have too, especially when it comes to money, which is why I do a podcast on it. How else do you learn? You only learn by, or not only, but a great way to learn is through mistakes. Therefore, that is where I have learned.
That is a great way. It really drills those concepts into your mind.
Sure does.
It burns them.
Burns a good verb.
Yeah, yeah. It's painful, just like a burn. And yeah. I think this is an important thing to discuss. Yeah, because we all make those mistakes, but we all want to be more successful in our finances, and we
may not even
realize what those things are that are holding us back. But I think we can, if we learn from what are the common things other people are doing, granted, nobody listening to this is doing these things, but if we can learn what other people are doing, we'll know what to avoid.
I think that's a good point, because I think there's the obvious mistakes where it's like, oh man, that was a really obvious, dumb mistake that I made. But then there's some things that you may not even realize are mistakes. Like that maybe they're not true mistakes, but maybe you could be doing better. Maybe it's not being the most successful, or, you know, maybe it's not the best use of your finances. And so, you know, maybe there's some tidbits that we'll share that, oh, I guess I didn't think about that. Or maybe that is a better option versus just a blatant, yeah, it's not a good idea to get $20,000 of credit card debt on a credit card that has 30% interest. I think people know that's a mistake.
That's right. It can be the subtle things that are just baked into your personal money culture that maybe they're not killing you, maybe they're not destroying your financial life, but you could improve on.
And you may not even want to admit that they're a mistake.
And admitting that you're doing something wrong is a hard thing to
do. It's step one after step zero, which is open bottle of wine.
So is buying that bottle of wine a financial mistake?
Never, ever.
How? At what price point does buying a bottle of wine become a financial mistake?
Depends on your situation.
Okay. Well, Heather, one of the first things that I want to just touch on when we're talking about mistakes is a little thing called spending, specifically excessive and frivolous spending. Have you heard of that at all?
I have not. I'm not even sure that is possible to do. That sounds crazy.
As our local spender, you probably don't understand that this could be a problem. However, yes, believe it or not, spending too much, especially spending too much on things that don't really matter, is something that can be a problem. I think this is something also that can get away from you, where maybe something's been worked into your daily routine. Maybe you're buying an excessively overpriced, I use this example too much, but an excessively overpriced coffee way too often. Maybe it went from I'm doing this once a week for a treat to now I'm doing it every day and maybe a couple times a day just to get through the day. And maybe that's a bit excessive. Maybe it's frivolous, even if it doesn't feel like a lot at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have been known to do this. Surprise, surprise. And for me, like where I see it happen is when I decide to shop. So I'm not the type of person who goes shopping every day or picks up one thing here or here. Like I will go months without going shopping, right? Or stepping into a store. But then when I shop, I really shop, right?
That you do.
I do not just buy one pair of pants or one sweater. I mean, it doesn't seem worth the trip. And so for me, more of this is on the excessive side where it's just like, bam, I just kind of lose control. I'm just like, I need new clothes and I don't even think about what I really need or how much I'm going to spend. I'm just like, I need clothes and I go buy them. It's more with clothes.
Yeah, I think it could apply. Clothes. It could apply to clothes. It could apply to other things too. For me, I was saying. Oh, for you. For you. Yeah, right. Right. I think it could apply to other things as well. I'm not really much of a spender, so I'm having a tough time coming up with examples on this one. But I'm sure you could probably think of one or two for me. I probably spent too much on a couple of things that aren't that are more fun than they are functional.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think to watch out for this, certainly budgeting, getting some self-control. I think a big part of this is self-control and learning to say no to yourself when you say, I want this, or I'm justifying that I need it for some reason. Learn to say no. Learn, you know, adulting isn't fun, but we got to do it. And this is part of that adulting, is reeling yourself in.
Yeah, I think we did an episode on self-control. And I think it's a really good point, because if you're saying yes, if I'm saying yes to five sweaters instead of one, I am saying no to something else. And so, you know, it is hard to be an adult, like you said, but you do need to have self-control and learn to say no.
Yeah, you're saying no. You're saying no to something you're not even aware you're saying no to yet.
So another one would be never-ending payments. So it's really easy sometimes to just get caught up in, you know, making payments that you don't even realize. Maybe you've got a gym membership that you never go to, or maybe you have a bunch of subscriptions that you just had, Netflix, Amazon, whatever. Or maybe even it's just eating out. Like, I talked about this a lot when I first started working. I would go out to lunch every day at work. It was just part of my routine. That's what we did, is we went out to lunch. Or I did a lot of mistakes when I was single, right after.
I've been a good influence on you.
Yeah, I got my first job and I was just like, money, I could spend. And I did the gym thing for a while too. Like, it was like everybody belonged to this gym. And so I got a membership. And in theory, it sounded like a really great idea, but I literally did not go that much. So, I mean, it's just really easy to just get in this habit and spend money and not take the time to evaluate and say, am I really even using this stuff, or do I need it?
But why do I need to stop now, Heather? I could quit any time. Right. I'm in control. Exactly. No, it kind of becomes, I make a joke, but it kind of becomes like an addiction, because you're used to having that around. Well, okay, I might not go to the gym this week, but I'm sure I'll go next week or the week after. And so I'll just keep it around for another month. And eventually, you know, time goes on and you realize, oh my gosh, I just haven't been using this. So cut it off.
Yeah. So I think the big solution there is you need to know where your money's going, first of all. Like, be aware of, don't, a lot of times you set these things up on auto and you don't even realize that, bam, $120 is going out of your monthly, you're paying to a gym every month and you don't even realize it, right? So you need to know where your money's going. And again, this goes back to, you said this on the last one, but budgeting, right? Having a plan, knowing where your money's spending, having goals and budgeting for your expenses.
Yeah, I like that you're bringing up my favorite tool yet again. this is awesome. For someone that has not really been a fan of budgeting, you sure talk about budgeting.
I do it, though.
You do it. You're great at it, too. Next, I'd like to bring up living on borrowed money. So this is certainly a mistake. If you are depending on borrowed money to run your life, in order to fund your lifestyle, in order to drive your car to get through the day, that's a problem.
But I can make the payment, David. I can make the payment at the end of the month.
You can make a payment today. You can make a payment today. But if you don't have that money in your bank account, you're one tragedy away from bankruptcy. And do you really want to live on that fine line? I think that's terribly scary. And I've seen people, they put vacations on credit cards and then they're paying interest rates on their vacations, or they do the same with clothing or Christmas gifts or whatever that might be. And you're paying interest on all these things that are worth nothing, essentially.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing with this is, who wants to pay for something in the past? Like, so putting a vacation on a credit card, the vacation's already been done and you're still paying for it. Or like, you know, you buy something and you go out to have that fancy meal or whatever, and you get the clothes and they're used. It's like, who wants to keep paying for something that's already in the past? Like, that's just doesn't sound very fun.
I certainly don't. And then every time that I would pay that credit card bill where I know my vacation's sitting on there, I'd be thinking about, gosh, that vacation was fun, but I sure hate writing this check out. And I feel like I personally would be more frustrated and upset about writing that check or paying that bill every month than I would have had I just saved up for it, stuck it out, and paid cash for that vacation.
Right. I did this one time. I got in trouble one time. I don't even remember. I think I bought some furniture or something. I don't remember. I've talked about this before, but and I had a balance on my credit card for 1 month. And let me tell you, that was horrible. Like paying that credit card and seeing that money go to interest, it was just like, I can't even remember what I bought at the time. So it was just like, oh, I just remember that. Talking about learning from mistakes, like I remember the feel of that burn. That was not a good thing to do. So another one, so solutions on this one.
Oh, well, solution, if I were to say, like I kind of said already, but I would save up for what you want to buy. Like don't live on borrowed money. Make sure you eliminate that debt so that you aren't living on that fine line, so that you're not one disaster away from bankruptcy or being homeless, or like get yourself in a better position than that. Pay cash when you can. Pay cash. don't buy something unless you can pay cash.
Yeah, people talk often about this whole living paycheck to paycheck, and some people have to, they just don't make enough income. But like, don't put yourself in a situation where you're choosing to live paycheck to paycheck because you used financing and debt to pay for things that are already in the past that you couldn't afford.
And there's a shocking number of people that have chosen to be in that situation.
Right. So the next one is buying a new car.
Oh, but aren't new cars shiny and beautiful and they smell are. Nice?
I mean, that's the thing with this one, right? Like, this sounds so good. Like, I go to the new car store and you sit in them and you're just like, oh my goodness, this would be amazing. I want to drive this thing home. But then when I think about all the money I'm paying and the second I leave that I just lose, that the value just goes out, that it just appreciates. And I'm not saying there isn't a time, if you're Bill Gates, whatever, you can buy as many new cars as you want. But it's just,
or if you've got a very solid bank account, if
right?
I mean,
you can do this. You can do this if you have the cash.
Just be aware of what you're doing,
but just know that you're losing money on this deal. Again, this is one where it's like it's not necessarily. I mean, it just depends on your situation.
Right, but right. I mean,
if that's where you want to spend money, you can. But
some people get a lot of value out of having the latest, you know, $1,000 phone or $1,500 phone, and they can afford it. And that phone's worth nothing in a couple of years, but they can afford to spend $1,500. Likewise, someone might be able to afford spending $60,000 or $100,000 on a new car, and it doesn't faze them. But that's not most people.
Right.
Yes, and so I would say rather than financing a new car, don't finance a new car. Don't finance any car. Don't finance a used car. Save up, either pay cash for that new car because you can afford it and you don't care about the loss on that first year, those first few years, or go out and pay cash on a used car. And I get that used cars even right now are really expensive. The chip shortage is driving up car prices. You might not be able to get that used car that's 2 years old. You might have to go older. You might be looking at a five to 10 year old car in order to get a decent price. I don't like that either, but don't throw your money away. Be responsible. Next, I want to call out another common money mistake, and that would be spending too much on a house. We talked about cars. You spend a lot of money on your car. You also spend a lot of money on your house. Those are probably the two biggest things that people put money into. And I would say, if you buy more house than you should, you're going to be living paycheck to paycheck, like Heather was talking about earlier, and you may not even realize it. The furnace is going to go out. There are going to be problems. The air conditioner is going to go out. There are going to be problems you need to fix, and those are even more expensive on a larger or nicer home.
Yeah, Yeah, this one to me is an easy slippery slope. I mean, I remember the few times that we've been shopping for houses, right? So you look at it, you say, okay, this is how much I'm going to spend on a house. And you look at those houses and then your realtor's like, yeah, but if you look at this house, which is only $20,000 more, which divided over your payment is like $30 a month. I mean, you're not even going to notice that. It's like, you can get this, but it's just like, so it gets to be that slippery. There's always the next $20,000 or the next, yes. Oh, one more bedroom or the ensuite master or the third car garage. Like there's always that next thing. So you really got to stick to your laurels and be like, this is our budget. We're not going over it. Because like you said, okay, sure, that looks great. And okay, maybe the payment, it doesn't go up that much, but it's not just the price of the house. It's everything else that comes with it. And
yeah, you just got to be careful. At some point you have to draw a line and say, yes, this is our number. I know we could get something a little nicer for a little more money. And then from there, a little nicer with a little more money. But don't back yourself into a corner because, yeah, you want to give yourself some flexibility. And one of the rules I've heard is that you shouldn't spend any more than 25% of your income on your home. And the reasoning, again, is just that it frees up your other income for other things. Like you need money to be able to fund your
car. More than just a place to live.
Yes. You need clothing. You need food. You need to be able to enjoy life a little bit, and you don't want to be stuck at home all the time. You want to get out of the house once in a while.
Right. And like you said, there's other things. It's not just the cost of the house. It's the maintenance. It's the furnace goes out, the roof. There's repairs. There's insurance. There's taxes. Like there's so much more that comes with it. So make sure you've got a complete financial picture and the savings to fund that house. So along those, kind of similar to those lines, is the mistake, a common mistake of using a home equity line as a piggy bank. So just, hey, I've got this line. It's basically free money. You know, I've got equity in my home. I'm just going to use this for everything and anything and everything. That vacation, that new car, or different car, whatever, the kids' sporting activities, whatever it is. I've just got this piggy bank I could just dip into, and, you know, it's such a good deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's low interest rate, right? But you're still borrowing money. You're having to pay that back. It feels like it's your money because you're pulling it out of your equity. But you've got to pay that money back at some point. You either pay the money back or you're selling your house. One way or another, you're paying for that money.
Well, I think this one can get dangerous because, again, most of the time real estate goes up in value or holds its value. But I mean, you know, there was 2008 when you had the housing market crisis, right? I mean, it's not a guarantee that house is going to appreciate or stay that. So it's also, you are taking a risk by borrowing, even borrowing from yourself doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to get that money back.
Very true. Yes. This is not something I'm a fan of. This also reminds me a little bit of the reverse mortgage concept where you're specifically geared towards retirement years, but in your retirement years, then pulling money out of your home on a regular basis, pulling money out of the equity and using that as retirement income. And yeah, you can do that, but you're not the one on the winning side of that deal. Like you're at the end of the day, you're left without a house. You're better off. If you need money from your house, sell your house. That might seem kind of drastic. It might seem a little crazy. That's my opinion. Like if you need money from your house and your house is an asset, sell your house. Don't go into debt for it. Just, yeah, have some cash.
Yeah, I mean, for this one, going back to solutions, save up for your purchases.
Yes.
Don't use this as a piggy bank. If you need to buy something, save up for it, pay with cash. Don't borrow even from yourself.
Agreed. What about emergency funds? We had an episode recently on emergency funds, and we talked about their importance. I would say a common mistake is not having an emergency fund.
Help! I need somebody. Help! Not just anybody or money.
Emergency funds are really important. We just talked about this, but I can't stress enough just how emergency funds have saved us in the past. It takes such a relief off, such a burden off your shoulders to have that there when things are tough. It saves you from going into debt. It saves you from stressing about money that you would otherwise be going bananas about. And having that 3 to 6 months there, it means the world to me.
Yeah, I mean, these mistakes are not just what Heather and David put our heads together. We did some research on this. So these are common mistakes that people do. And I think this one, again, it is a little bit of work to get that 3 to 6 months of expenses. Like, that takes some time.
It takes a good deal of
self-control. It takes some discipline to say, I'm not going to spend this, so I can sock this money away. But man, oh man, is it worth it when that time comes to have that emergency fund there to help you. So yeah, I mean, obviously the solution here is to take the self-control, you know, take the time, use the discipline, sacrifice. It's not forever, and it's going to be worth it. Get that 3 to 6 months of expenses into a savings account.
Do yourself a favor and do
that. That's right. So the next one is another topic we've talked about, not having a will. So to me, just think about your loved ones. This is going to sound pretty harsh, people, but I feel like this is really selfish, because if you don't have a will, you're not the one who's going to be dealing with the problems and stress when you die. It's going to be your loved ones. So you're being really selfish by not having a will and protecting your loved ones and having it all set up so that when you pass, they can just grieve you and have it all figured out and not be stressing about money and issues. So I don't know. It's a little bit of a lecture.
But I don't have much to add to that, but you're completely right.
And
if you want to go a little bit above and beyond, put together your key documents around your bank accounts and your login information and all of those types of items. Have that in an easy space so that they can take that over as well for you.
Yeah, and I know this may be like, I don't even have any idea what I would do, how to do it, blah, it's super scary. There's this thing called the internet that has answers to everything. Like, there are so many articles on this. There's even services today that can help you. You can get free ones online. So I know, again, not fun. A lot of this stuff isn't fun, but this is how you get into mistakes and problems.
And it's not as, like you said, it's not as hard as you think.
No.
This isn't rocket science. A mistake also that a passion area of mine, saving. I don't know if you've heard of saving, but some people don't save, especially they don't save for retirement.
But it's not just saving.
It's investing. It's really investing. Yes. So when I think about saving for retirement, what I really mean is investing for retirement. And you have to invest your money. If you have money sitting in a bank account, gathering no interest, you're losing money. Or even if it's minimal interest. We've had so much inflation, especially this year. Like, if you're not making, I mean, inflation in February 2022, I was looking up, was at a 7.9% inflation rate at an annual rate. Like, that's crazy. You've got to have an investment in order to keep up with that, just to stay level, basically. So you need to be investing at least 15% of your income in retirement savings. Utilize that 401k at work or your employer match if that's available. Make sure you're putting this money away. Make sure you're investing it. Make sure you're growing it. Don't hide it under a rock or just in a savings account.
Well, and what I don't get about this one is, like, who doesn't want to retire? Like, who out there, except maybe my dad, like, it says, oh, I want to work forever. Nobody wants to work forever. Come on. And you don't have to. That's the thing. And I think the key here is really to just start. Because, like, again, going back, this is one thing I did do right when I first got my big girl job, is I just right away started putting, like you said, 15% of my paycheck went into that 401k, into saving for retirement. And it was like, I never even knew I had it. It was like, just start and you won't even miss the money because it's just going every paycheck. And it's like, oh, I didn't even have that money. Don't wait. Just have it come out of there. You don't even realize it because nobody wants to work forever.
When we first started, neither of us were making really much money at all. It was enough to kind of get by, but we weren't making a lot of money, but we still put it aside. You still put that little bit aside, just get started. and you'll thank yourself.
That's right. So the last money mistake we wanted to cover was lifestyle creep. So we did an episode on this one as well. And this one is really fascinating to me because this is one of those mistakes, again, that you probably don't even know you're doing it because it's just so easy to fall into. You know, you get that little raise at work or you get that promotion and all of a sudden you're going out to dinner a little bit more. Oh, look, I got some new clothing, or it's just really easy.
Upgrading that trip to just a little nicer hotel.
That's right. We're not going to stay at the Holiday Inn. We're going to go to the Marriott. I mean, it's just really easy to just kind of slip into that and not notice it because you're not saving more. You're not paying down debt. Like, you're spending that extra money, right? And so that's where that lifestyle creep. Again, maybe that's what you want to do. But what I would caution here is, don't let your money and your impulses control your life. You should be telling your money where you want it to go and where you want it to spend it. Don't just let it happen to you. Take control of it. There's not a lot of things you can control in life, but this you can if you wake up and take a look around and see what's going on.
I really like that call out that maybe you do want to increase your lifestyle, and there is nothing wrong with that, assuming you're reaching all your other goals. But like you said, Heather, let's make sure that's intentional. Don't just fall into it and stumble into spending more money without being meaningful about it.
All right. So we want you to continue this conversation with your spouse or significant other. Which of these common money mistakes are you or have you struggled with? And what did you do about it? Or what can you do about it? So, David.
Heather,
which of these common money mistakes is most tempting to still do, even though we probably know better?
You're probably going to, I got to pick one because I'm the saver. I feel like you'd think anything would be surprising, but I think you'll find this surprising. I would say it's lifestyle creep.
Ooh, tell me more.
Well, so.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
It's one where I'm human and I like things. We've talked about how you're more of an experienced person. I'm more of a stuffed person. And so I want another toy, or I want to do another enhancement to the car, to my car, or I want to just have, I don't know. I want to have the next thing. I want to do the next thing. Or sometimes maybe even I want to go out and have a nicer dinner with you or something along those lines. And I need to be...
Or buy that $15 bottle of wine.
Right, exactly.
Or maybe two bottles of wine.
Oh, yes.
Let's not go crazy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Maybe I want to have a nicer bottle of wine. But the trouble is that, yeah, we probably can sometimes, but not all the time. And so it's figuring out when is it okay to splurge a little bit and when do I need to pull back. And that's a tough balance. And admittedly, I've probably leaned heavier because I'm a saver, leaned heavier on the pullback side than the splurge side. But I've certainly felt like I've opened up more to that splurge side that I need to watch out for. How about yourself, Heather? Where do you wind up on this question?
That's a good one. I said excessive and frivolous spending. So going back to the first thing we covered that I joked that I don't do. Because I still do this one. I mean, sometimes I still have a desire. Sometimes I just want to spend money. Like, I can go time and time without spending money, and I just get this desire where I'm just like, I just want to go blow some money and go buy stuff, or I want to go on a shopping spree. And or when I do finally do a shopping trip to get stuff, I do find it hard to control myself and stick to a budget. And I feel like it's gotten even worse, to your point, as we've made more money and our lifestyle has gotten better. I mean, yeah. It's something that I think I'm always going to struggle with.
Okay, well, don't worry. I'll always be
here. The spender in me just comes out hardcore.
I'll always be here to try to reel you in and keep you in check. Don't worry.
You hate going shopping, though. You're never along on those trips.
Right, no, but I'm that voice in the back of your head where you're like, yeah, David's not going to be happy about this.
Good boy.
You know, I'm kind of always there with you. Oh, well, I think that about wraps up our conversation for today. Remember, you can always email us at marriageandmoneypodcast@gmail.com or message us on Instagram at marriage.and.money. Thanks again for joining us this week. And remember that whether you're a spender or a saver, your best financial life lies somewhere in the middle.